there are lots of technology integrationists across South Dakota, but you're doing something different, and we're talking about the makerspace. So first of all, help us understand this word makerspace. What's the concept?
Yep. So the concept hasn't, it's not anything new. It's just really starting to take education by storm, because the mindset of educators are starting to shift to having students really dive into their passions and dive into really an exploration of different tools that are available to them to start to really look at different career options. And so this idea of a makerspace in a middle school setting is really just to broaden our kids' knowledge and I guess widen their scope to what is out there available to them once they get to high school and then beyond that. And so in our makerspace, we have a lot of different components that bring in all kinds of different avenues for our students to experiment with. It's open-ended learning, which allows our students to come in and really drive their own learning. We don't have a lesson. We don't really have anything prefabricated for them. It's them coming in and seeing the tools and saying, I wonder if I could do this, and having that freedom to just wonder and trial and error. We have a word in here that says fail, and it really only stands for first attempt in learning. So when something fails them, they don't give up. It's not the end. It's, okay, now what's next? How can I make that better? And so we've really started to look at that in our space, in our media center.
So who gets to participate in this?
So we have it's open to all of our students, 6th through 8th grade, and we open it up at 7:30. We typically have 5 to 10 kids usually every morning waiting for us to open up the doors because they want to be here. And then after school, we're here until usually 3:45, 4 o'clock with them. And then during their study hall, they can come down. And that's open time. So that means they drive their learning. They come in with the ideas and they really take a hold of it. And then during the school day, our teachers really allow our students, because our big focus is getting our students away from consuming information to producing their information, and this whole idea of them creating their learning. So when a teacher has a project and they need to have the student show mastery of the learning target, the teacher allows them to do this in several different ways. So some kids come down and they'll 3D print things. Some kids will come down and use our circuits. Some kids will come down and use our robots. It just kind of varies. Some kids will just do a poster or a presentation right in the classroom. And so it allows the students to have a lot of voice and choice in their learning and how they show their learning. Our space allows for them then to tap into some different learners that maybe are a little more tracked for the tech world or for the robotic type of industry.
We are talking kind of broadly about this. Can you give me one example of how an instructor, a teacher, would have a specific assignment, and how different kids have taken the materials and the opportunities in the makerspace to show how they understand it in different ways? I think if we can break mm-hmm. that down even further, that might help people understand it.
Absolutely. So in our social studies, our 7th grade geography class, earlier in the year, they were studying the layers of the earth. And basically, that was what they had to show mastery, and that was their learning target, was to know the layers of the earth and what happens in each layer. And some students came in and said, hey, can we 3D print a globe with the layers of the earth? And I was like, absolutely. You guys design it. Let's print it and see what happens. And so they did all the work. They designed it. We 3D printed it. 28 hours later, we had a 3D printed globe with the cutout, and they colored it. They put the continents on, the bodies of water on the globe, and then was able to walk through the layers of the earth. And so that was one example. Some kids just did a poster. Some kids did a presentation. Some kids actually made a diorama of it. And so it just kind of varied on what kids did. This group decided to 3D print something in our makerspace. Our 6th grade ELA class has just finished up the book The Hatchet, and they had to make a game review board. And they could make the game however they wanted, and some kids are coming down and 3D printing their little figurines for their game piece. And so now they've got little hatchets and all the characters of their game 3D printed that now play their game board, very similar to like Monopoly. So it just kind of varies. Our 6th grade science teacher does a lot of different things with our space. She does a whole game week where her whole unit is gamified, and so the kids have to go through the games of the periodic table. And some of those are coming into our space and using our tools to create different things that show mastery in that learning target to then pass on to the next level. And once they do that, then they level up and they continue through their game to the end of the week.
So it really is a lot about the accessibility of all of these different options to them so that they can 3D print something if they don't want to do a poster. It doesn't mean that they're forced into this, but they have these options now that they might not have had if you hadn't created this environment.
Absolutely. And this space is unique in the sense that it's in our media center. And the whole hope of our media center when we started this was to make it the hub of our school, the hub of learning, reading, research, collaboration, creating, and it's happened. We haven't put this in a classroom with a door locked, and only teachers have access to it with their class when it works into their schedule. Like, this is open 24/7 for our kids, and our kids know that, and they come down and use it whenever they need to do. So it's unique in that sense as well, because it's not locked behind a door, and it's a special class. It's really been part of what we have at South Middle School.
Because one of the things that I think about is, okay, that's great that those tools are there, but how many kids really care? How do you get them to be, you know, engaged in that? Where does the motivation come from that they're like, this is the place where I can do these amazing things? Oh, yeah, and I guess I'm learning in the process, but it's awesome.
Right. A lot of people ask that when they tour our place and ask that same question, and it's valid. The thing I tell them is that when you empower students to take a hold of their learning, to drive what they do, you don't have to motivate. Like, they do the motivation themselves because they're so interested in wanting to know more. Just last week, we had a little girl. We got some sewing machines because one of our group of girls that come in were like, you know what? It'd be really cool to have some sewing machines in here, and we could teach the boys how to sew, and we can make some projects. And then the kids went home, and they researched, and there's actual circuit thread. And so now kids can light up bookmarks, or they can make a ugly sweater with circuit thread. And so next year, next Christmas, wintertime, you know, we'll have an ugly sweater sewing contest in here probably, and the kids will be using this circuit thread to hook up LEDs and coin cell batteries. You know, it just spiraled. Like, that started with the sewing machine saying, hey, we can get some more girls in here, and us going, well, okay, great, we'll get the girls in here, but where else does this go? And then they just took off with it, and now it's grown. Like, we have a mechanic. Brianna is one of our students here, and she's our mechanic for our sewing machines. I don't know anything about the sewing machines. I couldn't tell you how to do it, but I can tell you that when Brianna comes in, she has the attention of the whole room. Everybody comes around and learns from her, and this is a sixth grader. And so again, that motivation happens when you empower the students to take a hold of their learning and teach it. You know, we all know as educators that truly when learners know the material, they can reteach it. And that's really a high level of learning. And our students that's happening in this space because they're passionate about that. If it's, you know, we have a boy in sixth grade too that very passionate about video game design. And we have a video game design station and theme. And he is the guy that you go to if you want to design a video game. He knows how the program works. He can teach you. And so we really empower our students to take a hold of each one of those areas so that I'm not the one holding all the knowledge, they are.
And you're an integrationist, so clearly you have an understanding and a belief that technology is good and that's helpful, but not everything in the space relies on a computer. We're not just putting kids in front of screens.
No, absolutely not. A lot of this is hands-on technology, so we have paper circuits, so that's just coin cell battery, an LED light, and some copper tape. And kids are making greeting cards that light up. And so very, very low tech. We've got Kinects. We've got Legos. And then we've got some high tech things. We've got some robots and we've got some drones that our students will use. But then, like I said just earlier, we've got sewing machines, you know. So we try to differentiate really all the spectrum of what our kids could see and be a part of. Next year, we're probably looking at adding a few more stamp creations, hopefully magnet or button creations, so kids can make their own buttons and magnets. And so just looking at adding new things, and it's not all tech related. It's more about giving that spectrum of what is the possibilities for me? What jobs are out there? Because the jobs that our kids are going to go to after they graduate, especially our sixth graders, we don't even know right now. Those jobs haven't been created, and that's scary, and it's good because we've got to make sure that we're giving them a round education, that they have the tools to be successful in whatever career they choose.
And you think middle school is the opportune time to engage them there. Does high school put us at too late?
You know, I think high school puts us at a different level. Middle school, I think it's a prime time. Gallup did a poll in 2013 that, 76% of kids in elementary school are engaged and excited about learning. By the time they hit middle school, it drops down to about 64%. And by the time they hit high school, we're down to 36%. And so that drop happens very quickly after middle school. And so if we can get them excited about coming to school, and I mean, seeing the 10 kids lined up ready at 7:30 to come into this space, that's the excitement we want to bring to our learners. But again, this space doesn't fit everybody, and we understand that. All we're hoping to do is provide an opportunity that gets them hooked somewhere. If it's one of the tools, great. If it's just collaborating and building something with a group of friends, awesome. That works as well.
And then when other schools are hearing about this, and maybe they don't have this sort of an opportunity, or parents think, hey, like, we should pitch this because this is great, you have to be able to, on some level, show that your investment is paying off. So mm-hmm. how do you guys gauge, look, this is an effective, successful way to help kids learn and to allow them to push their own understanding of these subjects?
Right. It's hard because we don't do a formal assessment in here. I would say some of the champions have been, like Saturday morning this past fall, we had an educator conference here, and I asked some kids, I said, hey, would you guys want to come in and teach teachers all day long? And the kids signed up, they came, they were excited about it. But I had a parent come in that Saturday morning and was like, I don't know why my kid wants to be here at 7:30 in the morning. Like, this, I didn't want to be at school at 7:30 in the morning, let alone on a Saturday, and now my kid wants to be here? And he couldn't quite understand it, and I just said, hey, go hang out with him a little bit in the makerspace, see what he's interested in, and see what he does. And so the dad did, and within 10 minutes the dad came out, shook my hand, and just said, this is incredible. He struggled to go to school as a fifth grader and now can't wait to get to school as a sixth grader. And that for me as a parent was huge. And so him telling us that was one of those things that we put in the back of our, back of our pocket and say, okay, this is working. We're not seeing necessarily assessment pieces, but we're seeing excitement. We're seeing engagement. Another part of it was we've been awarded some grants. And so our story is making sense with grants and with how they're awarding grants. And that's been a huge success for us is being able to apply for those grants and be able to get them based on our theory and really what we believe here at South Middle School for our makerspace. And then this past spring, we had an opportunity to work at the TIE Conference, the largest education technology conference in the state. And our kids got to run basically the whole space for an entire day. We brought all of our tools in, and basically after the TIE Conference, now every Wednesday, Thursday, we have school visits until the end of school because people are interested in seeing this space and seeing how they can lay it out. And so we also put that in kind of the back pocket as well of this, there is something here. Something's changing, mindsets are starting to change. Our staff has really bought into it and really started to say, okay, what can I allow my students to make and learn? And so there's two philosophies in the making world, especially in education. There's the philosophy of, I'm going to have a theme and I'm going to have these stations and they're going to do exactly these things, A, B, C, and D. The problem with that is it's no different than a classroom. We've kind of teacherfied it, we schoolified it, and now the kids are only doing what is expected. And so they're always asking questions, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? Instead of just pondering and wondering. And that's what we love about our space, is our space is on the other side of that. We're completely open-ended for our kids, and we try to stay out of their space. So as soon as we walk into their space, they're always asking, is it okay for me to do this? Should I try this? And now when we leave, when we're not in their space, that's when they decide to take risks and they try something. And as long as it's safe, we go through expectations, we set up those environments for us, but they're able to take risks. They're able to try something to see if it works. And if it doesn't, we try to rebuild it and we try to fix that. So really, that's kind of been our gauge of how has this gone. In an afternoon, free time for their study hall, we could have 30 kids in here some days, and it's just constant busy. Some of our students would tell you it's controlled chaos because they're all working on different projects, and they're all working in different groups, and they're collaborating, and one group might start something, and another group might be like, I could add that on to what we're already doing, and they'll try to do that. And so it kind of breeds its own passion with inside it once the kids are in here working.
Are there big questions that I should be asking?
You know, some of the questions that we get asked, especially on our tours, yeah. is, you know, I don't have the space, you know, I don't have a space in our school to do this, so we can't do this. And so the challenge I put out to schools that say that is, don't look at no as the end all be all, look at it as the next opportunity. So you don't have the space, so what's the next opportunity for a space like this? You know, is it on carts? Is it in the classrooms itself? Is it just part of what we do with kids every day? I really challenge schools to think about that. Some schools have put it on carts and classrooms check them out based on what the theme is. So it might be a engineering cart. There might be a Lego cart. There might be a circuit cart. There might be a game creation cart. So they have these different carts that then the teachers can check out and bring into their classrooms. The thing I really try to make sure schools understand is that if you're creating, if as a teacher you're creating everything for your students to do, then it's not necessarily a maker space. It's a STEAM lab. It's a STEM lab. It's science, technology, engineering, mathematics, art, but it's not a maker space because you're, as a teacher, doing all the work. In our space, our students do all the work. They're the ones who come up with the projects. We help them. We ask them questions. We go, I wonder if you could get this to power on. And then we let them go. But we're not creating the challenges. We're not the ones pushing every lesson to them. They're the ones driving it. And that's really the authentic. You know, the authenticity of a makerspace is them driving it. And so some schools will say, oh, we have a makerspace, and I don't disagree with them, but if it's all teacher-led, then we're missing the boat. We're missing that opportunity to allow our students to really find their passion, because if we're creating everything, we're kind of funneling them into certain passions instead of just saying, go see what you can do. What can you make today that moves? And they could use any of the supplies that do that. So really being careful with how we use the word makerspace, because it is kind of that fire right now that's going across the country. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's just another fad. Like, it's going to come in and it's going to go out. We've seen it. You know, I've been in education long enough that, you know, every 5 years there'll be something new and there'll be a new buzz term. And the ones that are really on the forefront of the makerspace really are trying to combat that, to say, no, this is part of a culture. This isn't something new. This isn't a program. It's what we should be doing with kids every day, no matter what. You know, when kids go home, they shouldn't necessarily always be glued to a device, but going and saying, I wonder if I could do this outside, or I wonder if I could make this. One of the funny stories is one of our parents that work at the high school has a boy here at the middle school, and she came in to visit with us one day and said, you know, I walked into my son's room and he had all this cardboard just stuck between his bed and his wall. And she goes, I asked him, I said, why do you have all that cardboard there? He goes, I don't know what I'm going to make yet, and I need to keep it, because if I lay it out in the garage, you guys are going to recycle it, so I need to keep it. And so he's packing away recyclables to make something that he doesn't even know yet. And that's the curiosity. That's the idea of this whole making thing, is creating entrepreneurs that will make something better for the world down the line. But this is the starting point. Like, you got to get them excited about making something first.
And because they can do it.
They have the freedom to do it. Absolutely.